Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, bread of life. The words for our consideration today are a few of the sentences at the end of our gospel reading. We're looking specifically at verses 66 through 69. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would set us apart from the dying world around us. Set us apart by the truth. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Help us to hear it and believe that these are the words of eternal life. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, this week I've been thinking a lot about how blessed we are to live in this country where we have choice. I think a lot of people are thinking about choice and freedom right now as COVID bears down again and restrictions seem to be coming. I think a lot of people this week are thinking about freedom and choice when we watch the news and see the Taliban asserting their control over Afghanistan again. To us, choice goes hand in hand with freedom, and it's one of our most cherished rights as Americans. And yet choice has its limits, doesn't it? Choosing to murder, for example, that's pretty mixed up because God never actually presents such a choice. It's an illusion from the sin-corrupted mind that thinks that it can do what it pleases. That God from time to time doesn't prevent a person from following through on murder doesn't mean that God gave that as a choice. It means that the murderer's own sinful heart is so chained to that sinful thought that it could not do otherwise. That's the opposite of choice. This morning, as we think about what was happening in Jesus' ministry shortly after he had fed the 5,000, it would be good for us to think about the relationship between choice and truth. And so I'd like to pose this question for us to think about. When is choice better than truth? People had flocked to Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry as he went around Galilee and was miraculously healing people of all sorts of ailments. His words seemed sweet to them until they were not. And it says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. What had changed? It wasn't Jesus. No, something changed in the hearts of those who had been following after Jesus. The path of words that they wanted to hear had split away from what Jesus was preaching, and they made the choice as to which way they would go. So for us, perhaps we ought to consider the question also, are sweet-sounding words better than the truth? Through the prophet Isaiah, God said, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So did God's word succeed when many of Jesus' disciples turned away from him? God answered the question for us, didn't he? The truth doesn't change. God's word is the truth. The truth proceeds from God and from him being precisely who he is. No real choice was presented. Those disciples imagined one, and they followed their flight of fancy down that wide road that leads to destruction. Solomon wrote, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The truth disappointed those who left Jesus behind. They felt that choice was better than truth. Does that mean that God and the truth failed? Well, I say to you, history has made it clear. The Apostle John heard God's word, and it saved him. He knew that God forgave him his sins. And though it was a shock that first Easter morning when John had run out there to the empty tomb and begun to understand that Jesus was alive again, he knew that the Lord would bring him from this life into the eternal life in heaven above. Because Jesus lives, he knew that he too would live. The whole book that we're reading a part of today, his letters, the revelation that was given to him, all are filled with the same theme. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." God's word is life to those apostles. And for countless generations of Christians, before and after. But for those who depart Jesus for sweet-sounding words, God's word still applies, even though for a little while they might not recognize it. God continues throughout our earthly lives to offer forgiveness and life and salvation. But in the end, those who refuse him, they won't have forgiveness. They won't have life. They won't have salvation. They'll be condemned by the very word that God had spoken to save them. False choices between sweet-sounding words and God's word are all around us. And I worked in academia for a while, and one of the things that one would often hear there is, "Oh, we can never know what's true." That's a high-minded, humble, bragging idea if I ever heard one. It's academia run amok. Anyone who has a definite thought on what the truth is hasn't looked for it, they say. Because there's so many truths out there. Some even say that everyone has his own truth or her own truth that might differ from someone else's. So how dare we settle on something and say it's true? How can we choose to take a position on the truth? They say. They've chosen not to, but that's a false choice. Social activism and the rhetoric of the news cycle today and social media exhibitionism. You know what I'm talking about. They've flooded us with so many sweet-sounding words and thoughts. Either they encourage us to believe that everyone's responsible for me, or that I'm responsible solely for myself. Two extremes, but neither of them is true. They offer every imaginable false choice, but precious little truth from God's word, because for the most part, our culture has departed those words of eternal life. And we no longer hear those words. Consider what John wrote down by inspiration in his first letter. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God, and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Sweet-sounding words pass away, but the truth remains. What it always is, what it always has been, what it always will be. There's no choice here, really. Hear the word of the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. You and your household, the scriptures say. But what about things? People are really caught up with things, too, not just these false ideas that are in the world. Are earthly things better than the truth? Some of the people stopped following Jesus when he made it clear that he was no bread king. After the feeding of the 5,000, people surrounded him and wanted to make him into their king because they thought he could be their meal ticket forever. They were thinking about the bread and the fish. Nowadays, some preach a bread king Jesus who can make a person prosperous. One of the most popular preachers out there is Joel Osteen, and he's preached things like this. It's God's will for you to live in prosperity instead of poverty. It's God's will for you to pay your bills and not be in debt. But what he failed to say was that God will always do what is best for you, and it might be best for you to wait to enjoy the prosperity of heaven rather than be filled with the love of money here on this earth. And the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and it's led many to destruction. Some don't even try to disguise the question. For those who are caught up with the love of things in this world so that God's word is irrelevant to them, choices are made on the basis of what they love, which is not God. Consider the choices that we make with our money and our time. Consider the choices we make about a church to attend. Should the truth drive the way we use our money? Should the truth drive the way we spend our time, determine the church we attend, the music we like to listen to, what we read, and so on? Those questions offend Americans. Those questions often prick our own consciences because we know there are many times when we've turned down our own paths rather than following the Lord. What portion of our days on earth are spent chasing after wealth and comfort and leisure? But fellow redeemed, this is precisely why the truth is better than earthly things. It's in our sinful nature to seek last the kingdom of God, to assume that we must always add all the things that are on our own list and somehow attain them, even though all these things are going to pass away. But the truth doesn't change. God's word is always better because it is unchanging. God doesn't change his mind about saving you and me, no matter what we've done, no matter who you are. Before he had even created time in the world, we know he resolved to love you. Before he had done anything, he resolved to speak the truth out of love for you. Pure love. His commandments, even, are there to show you the truth about yourself, not to shame you. His law is there to make plain that something is amiss in your nature, to silence your excuses, to focus your attention on his word that you need him to save you. And he's done that work. Jesus never stopped preaching the truth, not just because he's the one true God, one with the Spirit and the Father, but also because he was determined to live as a human being through the hurricane of all the false choices and weird ideas that are out there and the earthly temptations. He was resolved to live that life for you so that he could give that perfect life up to cover you with his own righteousness. while he shouldered your sins and mine and those of the whole world on the cross and gave his life up for us all. He was resolved to be the one who would receive God's condemnation over sin. And so God is no longer angry with you. He forgives you. At his direction, at his word, turn from your sin. Turn away from that false path. Turn from the false choices and the wide path that leads to destruction. Turn to the narrow truth, and there you will enter eternal life. Nowhere is this made more clear than in your baptism, which does now also save you. God made that blessed water with his word for you to put his name on you and make you a part of his family and to wash away your sins perpetually through repentance and forgiveness of sins. And he made his supper to forgive you your sins as well and to bring you together with him forever. So when is choice better than the truth? When you recognize that the truth is the truth, regardless of choice. But your choice nonetheless is the truth. What you sincerely want in your inmost being, God has worked that in you. That's a joyful thing. Because the truth will never disappoint you. Thanksgiving for God's goodness will be your eternal joy. His words are your eternal life. Your baptism means that you're forgiven. You have a place in heaven, and that can't be taken from you because it is the truth. The gospel cannot be taken from you. It is in all the world, and the word of the Lord endures forever. The forgiveness that Jesus won for you with his body and blood, in fact, that truth outlives the stars and shines brighter than all of them in our hearts when we receive him. So don't depart from Jesus. The truth is always better. Follow him in faith. Hear his word. Choose the truth now that he's made you to be his own, for he is the way, and he is the truth and the life. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.